Our sermon text for today comes from the book of James. James chapter 3, starting in verse 13 through chapter 4, verse 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet. You cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. That you may spend what you get on your pleasures. This is the word of God for the people of God. If you were to boil sin down to its smallest detail and say, this is what we can define sin as, it would be selfishness. Because that's exactly what sin is. Sin is me wanting what I want more than I care about anything else. One of my songs that I just don't like it, is probably one of the most popular songs in America. I Did It My Way. It's nothing against Sinatra, the singer. It's the words. If I did things my way, oh, would things be messed up. Because when I do it my way, that means I'm getting what I want, regardless of anybody else. Let me give you a little bit of insight into myself. Now, I don't know how you fit in, but over the years as a pastor, you know, we have to go to all of these continuing education things, which is just code for a place to take a nap. No, not really. But continuing education is they try and help us to continue to grow as leaders and as pastors. And one of the ones that I went to was about your personality and learning how you deal with things. And I found out that my personality is I'm a shark. Attack me and I'm going to bite you. And as I thought about it, I thought, oh, that's really true. That is my tendency. That's my personality. Not the greatest way to deal with conflict in the church. Because as a pastor, people are always going to disagree on different things. Especially when it comes to that wonderful time of the year when we have to talk about salary. And I'd like a raise. There are people who think I'm already getting paid too much because I only work one day a week, and at that, only 2 hours. Don't shake your head yes, Tim. I saw that. So there's always going to be conflict. And in the church, if you deal with conflict as a shark, it doesn't work. So I've had to learn what this passage talks about. I've had to learn to be humble and to put other people's thoughts and actions ahead of mine. Now, I won't always agree with what you have to say. I may debate you. I love to debate. Even in my debating, I've had to dial it back a little bit, file my teeth back maybe just a bit. But we're not always going to agree. But in the church, if there's going to be unity in the church, we need to understand that the other person's point of view may not be our point of view, but it's their point of view, and therefore it deserves respect. In my last church, most of you know how the political environment is right now. It is horrible. And I actually had to pull people aside and say, you will not argue politics in church. You will not argue and fight with one another. Agree that you don't agree. You love each other and get along on everything else. Why are you going to argue and be nasty to each other about this? And we get passionate about things. I have friends who are Baptists, and I have friends who go to Pentecostal churches and all kinds of different churches. And I have a few friends in the Methodist church. And we don't even agree on everything. But we agree on the important things, that we care about other people. We want other people to be able to do well. In the church, our goal is to serve God. So how do we as a church be humble and serve God? How do we not seek our own best interest in everything? Because when we come to a meeting and we're going to discuss something, we have our ideas on it. And we may not get what we want. If you're not used to that by now, there's a problem. Because you don't always get what you want. And in the church, it's not about what we want. I don't particularly like these green pew covers. Maybe we should get rid of them. I kind of like red hymnals better than blue. You know, we could fight about all kinds of things. But when it comes right down to it, what is it that keeps a church together? It's the desire to put what God wants first. I've learned over the years as a pastor that God doesn't just speak through me. God speaks through everybody in the church. I don't come up with all the good ideas. I need to learn to listen to others, to see where God is taking the church, where God is guiding and directing us to go. If we do that, if our focus is on God and not on ourselves, then we can accomplish great things. James says in this passage, you don't have because you don't ask. And when you do ask, you ask wrongly. We have this idea, especially in this social media age, that it's not about what we ask, it's about how many people we get to agree with us. So we put it on Facebook and say, everybody pray for this. And I'm not sure, maybe you know what the magic number is. If we get 1,000 shares or 10,000 or 100,000, then God has to listen, right? There are people who think that. And some of these prayers are ridiculous. Some of the things that we see on TV, some of these preachers who are telling you that if you pray for something, that God will give it to you. Yes, exactly. That's the big one. If you send me $21.99, God will bless you. Well, he already blessed me because I have $21.99 more than I had. Why do you do that? Why do you pray those prayers? So that God is blessed? No, so that you get more. It's selfishness. We pray for healing. Why? Why do we pray for healing? Because it's for us. We want to feel better. We want whoever we know who is hurting to feel better. Have you ever thought Maybe God's using that sickness to touch lives. When my mom got cancer, I prayed that God would heal her. And I've said this before in sermons, that I truly believe in my ministry that one of the greatest things that ever happened to me was that my mom got cancer. Because it has allowed me to feel what it feels like to have someone you love very dearly struggle with cancer and die. And so I am able to minister in a way that I wouldn't have been able to otherwise. And I think that my mom would have thought that was great. It was worth it. Because she strived to follow God. She was all about doing what God wanted. And for her, dying, that wasn't a problem. Dying was not something she was afraid of. In fact, the closer she got, the more she looked forward to it. She knew she was going to miss things. She was going to miss people. She was going to miss things that happened. But what she was going to get was so much greater. She was going to be with Jesus. Now, when we pray, let's think about why we're praying. Are we praying that God's will would be done? I have to tell you, I didn't want to come to these two churches. In fact, I've never wanted to move, anytime I've ever moved. It wasn't my choice. Every time, if I had my way, and I could somehow convince God to see things my way, which I'm glad I haven't been able to, I would probably still be in my first church, or maybe my second one, or my third one, or my fourth one, or the last one. Now, I'm staying here till I retire. That's just the way it is. But it's not about what we want. It's about doing what God wants. And it's amazing to me every time I move. It's hard. I don't want to move. I have friends. I have people that I love in the churches that I'm serving. We're doing ministry. Things are happening. And I get moved. And it amazes me. It shouldn't amaze me, but it does every time, what God is doing. What God is beginning where I go. And the way things start to grow, and the way God uses me to do ministry where He's put me. It's amazing. So I've learned over the years, it's not about me. It's not about what I have to offer. It's about what God is doing. And what we need to figure out when we pray is, what is God doing with us? Now, I've told you this before. God doesn't put churches in places just because there's an opening there. This church is here in this place because God has a use for it. And God has put me in this church at this time because God has a purpose for us. And I'll tell you right now, I don't shrink churches. I don't think churches should shrink. I think churches should grow. So I truly believe that if I'm here and you're here, then the purpose is that we should grow and we should change lives. So that's our focus. That's our focus. That's our prayer, that God would use us to change lives. Now, as I come into the church and I see what you're already doing, all of the ways that you're reaching out to the community, all the ways that you're touching lives, my question for me is, okay, what's my part? You're already going out into the community. 217 children are going to be affected by what you do. Do you understand that? And how amazing that is, what God is doing? Where did the food come from? Well, all they're going to know is it came from the church, the churches. They may not even know what church or how it got there or anything else, but they're going to know that it's from the church. That could change an entire generation's way of looking at God. What a wonderful thing. We need to keep doing that. Keep praying that God will continue to use us. And it's not about how big you are. It's never been about how big you are or how much money you have. Because see, you serve God, and God has access to all the money we will ever need. And God has the ability to use us in ways that we could never understand, in ways that touch people's lives. But if we focus on ourselves, if we focus on what we want, then God can't use us. That's what James is saying. I worked in drug and alcohol rehab for about 8 years. It was an inpatient men's drug and alcohol rehab, and it was probably one of the greatest ministries I've had to be able to work with those guys. I could tell you some of the things I've been offered. One of the guys one time said, "You know, Pastor, if there's anybody you ever need taken care of, just give me a call." I thought, I think I'll pass on that one. But to see guys' lives changed by God, that's what it's about. That's about the ministry that we're doing. Our job is to change people's lives so that they come to understand who God is for themselves. When we focus on ourselves, and in drug and alcohol rehab, we had a term, and I love it. It's called belly button gazing. It's when a guy who's in rehab only thinks about himself. And in rehab, you have to do that. You have to focus on yourself, because what you want to do is keep your focus on you so you keep yourself clean on a minute-by-minute basis. And it may take that. But that's hard to do unless you have a support system. And that's where the church that I was serving at that time became a support system. And over the years, I'll tell you some of the stories about the things that happened. But I just want to share one. We had a woman, Jane was about this tall, little tiny older lady in her early 80s. And Jerome was one of the guys who was in rehab. And Jerome was about this tall, black guy from Pittsburgh, who was big enough to play on the defensive line for the Steelers. He was huge. And he was sitting in front of Jane one day in church, and he was scrooching around. He could tell his back was itching, and Jane reached up and scratched his back. That, to me, told me that we had something special going on. When a little old lady feels comfortable enough to reach up and scratch his back, God is at work. We need to allow God to be at work in us. That means not being comfortable. It means doing what God calls us to do, even if it feels uncomfortable. I'm going to ask you over the years to do some things. I've got all kinds of ideas. Some of them you may not be comfortable with. Some of them I'm not comfortable with. I'm not a public person. I don't like being in front of people. It wears me out. I really don't like playing my guitar in front of people and singing. But there are times that God calls me to do those things. I do like to preach. But I'm going to ask you to do things that you may not be comfortable with. Working with kids. Working with older people. Doing all kinds of things that God is leading us to do. And our focus must be not on what we want, but on what God wants. If we do that, God will use this church. And He will touch this community through it. He already is. You're already being used. God is already touching this community. Let's not focus on ourselves. Let's focus on what God wants. Let's be humble and remember that God can use even me. Amen.